Whenever you're ready, brother. Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Father, thank you for the word of God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to just focus on the scriptures today and learn something and be comforted and be encouraged. And Lord, if need be convicted. Lord, help us to just get what we need out of this passage of scripture today. Lord, you know what we face and you know what we need. So we just ask your help. We ask you to provide what we need in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. It's always amazed me when we look at this passage of scripture. So many times there are things there that people use as proof texts. And a lot of times when it talks about the Spirit making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, a lot of times they'll say, see, that talks about praying in tongues, and it has nothing to do with tongues because it says these are things that cannot be uttered. If your tongue's flapping, you're uttering. And if this is something that is between the Holy Spirit and God the Father, and it says, he that searcheth the minds, the hearts, and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, if you have the Catholic doctrine of being a saint, you're in trouble there because the Spirit doesn't pray for you because you're not a saint. But if you're a Bible believer and you know what a saint is, and a saint is simply a saved person, then you know that the Spirit of God is making intercession for you. Amen. And so, hallelujah. That's something to get excited about. And then in verse 29, it says, for whom he did know, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the Calvinists will jump up and say, see, that proves predestination. God chooses some to be saved and some to be lost. And it didn't say that God predestined anybody to be saved. It said those. He said, whom he foreknew, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. The predestination, the thing that God predestined, was that every believer would one day be conformed to the image of Christ. When we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Right? Alright? So that's the whole point he's trying to say there. So there's a lot of things in there that people like to get twisted around on. It says, whom he called, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. God foreknows everything. God knows everybody that's going to be saved. And it's just an amazing thing that God is just so patient to wait. He offers salvation to everybody, knowing who will accept that gift and who won't. Knowing what part we have to play in it. Isn't it amazing? The Bible tells us that we ought to pray for laborers to the harvest, that we can actually have a part of the salvation of people's souls by being laborers and praying for laborers. We can impact other people. And yet God already knows the end from the beginning. God sees everything as it is, and it's hard for us to wrap our heads around. That's one of the reasons why people talk about predestination and the idea that, well, God knows everybody, He knows who's going to be saved. So they just take it one step further and says, God just chose who's going to be saved and that's it. There's nothing we can do about it. But that's not scriptural, is it? If you were to say that, because what would be the point of us doing anything as far as getting the gospel out and the lost if it was all predetermined? And so, and a lot of times, we don't understand the way God sees things. You know, you and I, we can look back and we can say, man, if I hadn't have done that, my life would be different. If I hadn't made that choice, my life would have been different. I can look back I can look at things that if other people made different choices in my ancestry, my life would be different. I had well over 200 acres that my great grandfather, my great grandfather, they got land grants in Louisiana up near Monroe in that area, and there's like well over 200 some odd acres of land that should have stayed in our family but never did because it got taken away. As far as I know now, the timber companies have it. And so that land was there. Wonder what it would have done if they'd paid their taxes and kept the land and did everything they were supposed to. Maybe there'd been something different in my life, right? We can look back and we can say, man, if I had made that choice, that would have been bad. Or man, I wish I would have made that choice. That would have been so much better. We look back, don't we? All those things that we talk about and man looks at, people have these ideas of one of the big things in the sci-fi world and the science world and everything like that. We talk about that is this idea of alternate realities and all these different possibilities. Well, God sees all that. God sees anything. These things that we try to postulate about, that none of this is amazing to God or even puzzling to God. God sees everything. God knows every step of my way, what step I make, those consequences are going to be. But yet He still allows me to go through those things and make my choices and do that. And it's just amazing to understand. Well, it's hard for us to understand that God can know so much and still allow us to just make our own choices. But He does. A man started that out at the garden. We're going to choose for ourselves what's good and evil. You know? I don't need you to tell me, God. And we've been doing it ever since. And yet God's so patient. And God's plan throughout the history. And people have always been saved by grace through faith in the promises of God. And that's the way it's always been. So we look through all of this and we look at what the Bible says about this. But right in the middle of that is Romans 8:28. Right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we like to grab that verse out of its context, and we like to grab hold of it. And there's nothing wrong with having that verse and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that, but so many times we miss the context. And the context is what? Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The context is that God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The context is that God's plan for us is not going to be derailed. And if we would grab hold of that, and we would see, and we were talking about being happy as a Christian today, and part of that idea is understanding the concept of this, that whereas as you go through this life, it's not all on you. Do your choices matter? Sure they do. Do your decisions and does your actions, do they make a difference? Certainly they do. There's something good or bad to come from all of them. But it's not all on us. it's not all on us. It's not everything on us. We have the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus being our advocate with the Father. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus shed His blood for all, for the whole world. Everybody is offered salvation. Not everybody will accept salvation. And if somebody dies and goes to hell, it will be because they rejected the light that God gave them. If anybody dies and goes to hell, it'll be because they chose to go that way. Because they rejected the offer of salvation from God. They rejected it. And that's the bottom line. And we look at that passage of Scripture, and it says in verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What is it that God's going to withhold from you? Why do we walk through our life thinking that God's plan is to withhold something from us? God doesn't withhold good. The Bible says, no good thing will He withhold from him that walketh uprightly. If you live by faith, He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. But the problem is, you're going to have to adjust your definition of good. You know, we've got to grow up a little bit, don't we? You know, when I was a little kid, and you'd ask me what was good and what was bad, and you set a bunch of food in front of me, I'd run straight for the sweets. Amen? Amen. And Brother Wayne, if they set some broccoli in front of me, I'd say, I don't want none of that. Amen. I say, I don't want no broccoli at all. And we had a preacher come through one day. I was going to say this while we were eating, but because somebody may have a weak stomach, but we had a missionary come in one time, and he was talking about that, and he said, do y'all know the difference between broccoli and boogers? And everybody just kind of were taken aback, and he said, kids will eat boogers. but the sad thing about it is, I just kind of remember that. But you know, we sit there and we say, boy man, when we look at what's good so often, we look at good in the sense of what tastes good to me, what feels good to me, what gives me some type of relief, and that may not be what good is. You know, you can start out in a nice, warm, comfortable pan and get boiled to death, right? And the devil's good at that. Sin is pleasurable for a season, right? So we need to understand that, but there's consequences to these things. And so when it says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called of His purpose, first thing is that if we're gonna claim that verse, we have to understand that when we talk about good, it's not good according to how we feel. It's good according to what God says. What God says is good. And we talked about it before, even the chastening hand of God, we ought to be happy about it because of that. So good is a thing. But I want you to notice something. In verse 28, the first thing it says, and we know. And we know. We know. Do you know? Do you know that what you're dealing with right now is God's going to do something good, make something good come out of it? Do you know that what you're suffering now, or what you may be fighting now, or the battle you're fighting, Maybe it may not be a physical problem. Maybe it's people attacking you. Anybody ever been attacked by somebody unjustly? Anybody ever been bad-mouthed by somebody? Anybody ever been lied about? I don't know, maybe it's that you're dealing with. And we talk about all these things, but yet we say we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. You might want to define what good is. You might want to find out what good is. You might want to think about what your definition of good is. Is good always you-centric? You know, we read in the Bible, we read all these people who suffered great things for God, and we read all these things that suffered, all these people in history that suffered great things for God. And you know what? We read those things, and those things give us hope, don't they? They give us encouragement. We say, and you know what? God's still making those things that happened for good. All things work together for good. God has a plan. It's going to work for good. There's good out of it. It's not just good toward me, but it's good toward other people. Paul said, I would have you know, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. In Philippians, he said, I'm in jail and they mistreated me. He said, but the things that have happened unto me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. He said, I went to jail, but folks are getting saved. I'm in prison, but people are hearing the word of God. Some people got bold. And they weren't ashamed of my bonds, and they got bold and they preached the gospel. Some of them maybe a sense of duty. Brother Paul's there. Somebody he can't go. Somebody's got to pick up the slack and go in his place and preach. And I mean, we could go down the line. Is that not good? We say we know, but yet we act like it's not. And so often, when we quote this verse, we quote this verse to somebody else. No, somebody's having a hard time. And it's not wrong to do this, by the way. It's not wrong to do this. To try to encourage somebody with the Scripture, that's not a bad thing. To say, well, brother, well, sister, you know, I know it's hard now, but all things work together for good to them that love God, right? It's going to be okay. You know what we don't, you know who we don't say it to? Ourselves. You know, human beings are singular creatures as far as how duplicitous and how irrational we can be. We'll take the Word of God and comfort somebody else with it. But we never apply it to ourselves. We'll take the Word of God and point out somebody else's sin while we ignore our own, you know, the old idea, one finger pointing forward, three fingers pointing back, right? We'll sit there and, well, this is what the Bible says about your sin, but we don't say, oh Lord, what do you say about my sin? We'll go to somebody else and we'll say, oh, I know it's hard now, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we don't get on our face before God and say, Father, I don't understand, but I know that this is going to work for good. Help me. And and it's based upon the fact that God the Spirit is making intercession for us. But he says, we know. Not we hope so. Not we think so. Not we suppose so. He says, we know. Like Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. I know. And he says, we know that all things work together for good. Like I said, good is not just good for you. It's good for more than just you. It's good for God's plan. It's good for God's purpose. It's good for other people. So often we define good toward ourselves, especially in America. But you know, if I go to the jail this afternoon, like last weekend, we had somebody make a profession of faith in Christ, so hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I'm hoping he's supposed to get out within the next few months, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to convince him, persuade him to come. And then things ought to get real interesting in here when everybody sees this fellow. But the truth of the matter is, I go in there and I went in to preach the gospel and share the gospel, and I had somebody bow their head and call upon the Lord to be saved, and hallelujah for that. I might go in today and get cussed out. Would that be for good? Well, sure it would. People would hear the gospel, wouldn't they? People would get a chance, wouldn't they? That's the whole thing about soul winning. So often we get discouraged about soul winning, about witnessing, because, oh man, people don't want to hear it. People don't care. But even though they don't care, they get something good, don't they? They get an opportunity. They get an opportunity for God to knock upon their heart and say, put your faith and trust in me. I'll save you. I'm the answer. I can fix this thing. I can fix you. You know, if you were to go out and somebody was sitting over there and starving to death, and you come up and you said, hey, I got some food here, I can help you out. And they said, no, I don't want it. I won't take anything from you. Granted, that's maybe disheartening when we look at it and we grieve over it, and that's a good thing to grieve over it, but it's still good, isn't it? It works together for good. You gave somebody the opportunity. You can't. I'm just saying, our idea of good so often is just me-centric, and that's what gets us in trouble. But I want you to know another thing we do when we read this, and this is what I'm saying. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We don't read it to them. We read it for them. All things work together for good to them. And the second time he says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God. There's the first qualifier. To them that are called according to his purpose. Did you know if something's to you, it's not necessarily for you? Have you ever thought about it that way? Doesn't the Bible say that we're supposed to be stewards? Right? We're stewards of the mysteries of God. I go out and I give the Word of God. I stand up here, I preach the Word of God. But it's not my Word. It's His Word. I go out and offer salvation to people and preach the gospel to them and tell them about Jesus, and you go out and hand out gospel tracts or talk to people and tell them about Jesus and tell them about salvation, but it's not your salvation, is it? It's God's salvation. Right? Oftentimes God blesses us financially, but it's not necessarily for us. Maybe just to us. Do you follow what I'm saying here today? And we look forward to this, and he says whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate that to be conformed to the image of his son. How many things did Jesus receive that he passed on to other folks? Everything, wasn't it? Everything. I mean, Jesus grew up, his father was a carpenter. Who got the business? Did Jesus get the business? Did Jesus get it? What earthly inheritance did Jesus get? None. And he was the firstborn, wasn't he? He didn't get it, did he? Foxes have holes. Fowls of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And yet, he had nothing but gave everything. Everything the Father gave to him, he gave away, didn't he? In other words, it was for good to him. Yeah. As he walked this earth. And sometimes we need to see that one of the greatest goods there is just for us to be used of God to help somebody else. Just to be used of God to be a blessing, to get the gospel out, to hold out a hand, to maybe help somebody over a rough spot or whatever the case may be. For good to them. To you doesn't always mean it's for you, does it? But it's always for good. And so our job is to look and figure out what God wants to come out of this. What's the good? I tell you, I was talking about folks in the nursing home that I've known over the years and stuff like that. Good, great, godly Christians and everything like that. Some of them were the greatest encouragements to me as a young preacher that I could ever have. And they were going through a tough time. And if nothing else happened that was good out of what they were, as I was struggling with trying to figure out what does God want me to do, what does God want me to do, sometimes I'd be so frustrated. I'd look at my family life and everything like that, and I'd say, oh man, we're not where we're supposed to be. And I'd be almost to the point on the verge of tears and ready to give up. And I'd go to the nursing home and preach, and one of those old saints of God would be suffering but praising God. And I'd be like, wow, if they can praise God through that, why can't I praise God through what I'm going through? And it lifted me up. And I don't know what all happened there, and I don't know what all else may have done and other people they may have helped, but they helped me. And God gave them great grace, but it wasn't just for them, was it? It was for me too. And God can do the same thing through us. Man, we got to grab a hold of that. And then finally, in verse 31, it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What good thing do you think that God's going to withhold from you? Nothing. Oh, I just want us to see that when we talk about, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, God so often does give us things and does things for us and helps us. He makes intercession for us, the Spirit does, according to the will of God. And that's for us. And God, and the Spirit of God is interceding for us. Our Savior is interceding for us with the Father. And when the accuser of the brethren comes, it's my Savior who's my advocate. And I could go on and on and on about all the wonderful things, but the simple thing is He does those things for us. Christ appears in the presence of God now for us, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. We could talk about this at length and just rejoice in it. But then He talks about all the things. And they work together for good to them. Not for them, but to them. And God can give something to you that is meant to be passed on because it's for someone else. And that is something that's amazing about it. God doesn't need us, but He gives us the opportunity and the privilege to do things for others, to give to others things that He has for them. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. We can see so many good things happen in this world, and things that'll help us, things that'll sustain us, but one of the greatest things is we can be used of God. No matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter how badly we feel about ourselves, no matter how silly we feel and everything like that, I've had times where Sister Denise and I have just had such a bad time, and it's been difficult and hard, and you know, I just feel like such a failure. You know, because I'm the preacher, I'm supposed to have my house in order, right? That's a qualification, and I have to, and that's a job to keep your house in order in these days, isn't it? Sometimes we have to work our way through difficulties and things like that. And oh, you feel like such a failure. And you just go and pray. And then the Spirit of God tells you to just share the gospel with somebody. Give somebody a gospel tract. And then you get the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. What an amazing thing to be able to do that. As sorry and as foolish as we often are, and yet God gives us such a great opportunity to win souls, to have a part in other people's salvation, to just be a blessing, to help somebody. And I tell you, if we'd humble ourselves before God, especially in those times when we really feel just all beat up and we just feel like the world's crashing in on us and everything, and instead of just getting angry at God, if we just humble ourselves before God, you'd be amazed at the great grace that God has waiting for you. If we just cast our burdens upon the Lord, if we just shed our tears before God, if we just realize that instead of turning away from Him, we just wholeheartedly just throw our whole heart and soul into seeking Him the way we should, you'd be amazed. I remember one time I was late for school, and the principal, Mr. Mize, he came up and he saw me there, and we'd been having trouble in the in the house, and I knew Mr. Mize. Now, Mr. Mize, he had a razor strap hanging in his office, and the razor straps were for special cases. And I knew that I happened to fall under that category of being a special case. A lot of times he had a board, but he'd use a board. Sometimes he'd use a razor strap when it's necessary. Oh, that's barbaric, isn't it? But I tell you what, it kept me from being more barbaric than I was. Amen. But the bottom line was one day, I mean, I'd felt both the board and the razor strap in my years. You know, the funny thing about Mr. Mize, he was the middle school, so I had him in middle school, right? And I was so happy when I left middle school and went to junior high, I was tickled to death. And then they made him the principal over high school, junior high. I was like, oh. But anyway, but I remember one day I come in there and we were having trouble at home, a lot of uproar at home. Of course, we were lost and everything like that. And I remember him, and he come in, and I came in late, and you had to go into the office, and I come in late, and he said, Sanders, he said, your grades are dropping down. What's the matter? And I said, I was upset and mad, and I said, my grades are my business. And he got that look, and he looked at me, and he said, get in the office. I walked in there, and I was sitting in there waiting on him to come, and I said, you know, I just made a big mistake here. And I said to him, when he walked in the door, I said, Mr. Mize, I'm sorry. I've just been having a really hard day this morning. You know, when I walked in, he said, Sanders, but when I said, Mr. Mize, I'm sorry, he said, John, can you tell me what's wrong? Instead of the razor strap, I sat in there for about an hour talking to him, and he's just talking to me, trying to encourage me and help me. Because he cared about people. He was a good principal. I remember him real well. That's one thing I'll remember, just that time. Just taking the time. And you know why I did it? Because I humbled myself before. Because I just humbled myself before him, and I said, you know, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been that way. I wasn't right in doing that. Sometimes to unlock that key to just finding the purpose and will of God and finding out what God wants us to do and what God wants us to come out of this, what we're going through right now, it's just a matter of humbling ourselves before him. Say, Father, I don't understand why, but I trust you. And I just want you to help me. Help me to do right regardless of how I feel today. Help me to do right regardless of what other people are doing to me. Help me, Lord, to do the right thing. Lord, help me forgive. Help me to be kind. Help me to apologize. Lord, just help me. Lord, I know that you've got good intended. Help me to see it. Sometimes that's what it takes. To know. I mean, sometimes we get on our knees, don't we? We say, man, I don't even feel like my prayers are reaching the ceiling. I don't even know what to say. And whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, the Holy Spirit of God, if you're His child, He's right there saying, it's all right, I got it covered. You just pour out your heart to God, I got it covered. I know what you need. I know. Do you believe that, beloved? Do you believe it? We ought to, shouldn't we? You know, if you had to go take a test or you had to go do something and it was all on you and everything like that, and you said, man, I don't know if I can do this, but if you had somebody with you that had all the answers, what would you do? You'd probably strut in there with your chest out. Pick up your pencil with confidence and say, all right, question one, what's the answer? Write it down. And you walk out saying, I aced that. Well, don't you realize we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous? Don't you realize that the Holy Spirit is there and makes intercession for us according to the will of God? He's there. Lord, this is what He's saying. My younger cousin, he's the same age as me, but 3 months younger than me, when he was a kid, he got hit upside the head with a big old rock and damaged him. He ended up having to go to the hospital for it. Neighborhood kids were throwing rocks, and big old rock hit him right behind the ear. Well, he was young, and he got damaged in that. And we were little at that time, and he ended up going in, and they ended up out of that. He ended up with spinal meningitis, and he ended up having tubes in his ears. And we would grow as growing up as little kids and everything like that. Because of that, his speech development took a real big hit. And me and him were always together, and we were always playing together. And he would get to the point he couldn't pronounce his words, but I could understand him because we were always together, so I understood him. We used to play, and we used to make up names for ourselves. I don't know where we got them, but I was Moon Man, and he was Wawa, and we didn't know who what was what and everything like that. But we would sit there and play, we would do that. But even his mama, my Aunt Ruby, she'd go up there, and I'd be, if they were living with us at the time, she'd call me in there. And she said, John, what is he trying to say? And I'd listen to him, and I thought, oh, he's saying this. And they'd be like, you know, I mean, I was his translator. His old mama couldn't understand what he was saying. But we knew what he was saying. And sometimes, you know, I'm sure for him, he probably felt frustrated trying to tell his mama, you know, little children want mama and daddy to care and know what they're wanting. And he's trying to show them, tell them, communicate what he wants. And they can't tell him. They got to go get somebody else. And I'm sure maybe Keith might have felt like he was just babbling. You ever felt that way before God? You ever felt like you're just babbling before God and just, you don't even know what to ask? And there's a translator, it's the Holy Ghost. And he says, I know exactly what he needs. Here's what he wants. Here's what he needs. Here's what he needs. He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. I never have to, and you know, like I said, why don't we approach prayer that way? I said, preacher, I don't know what to pray. We'll pray anyway. Just get on your face before God. Just bow your head before God. Bow your heart before God. Babble if you have to. The Holy Spirit knows. He knows exactly what you need, and He'll make intercession for you. He'll be the translator. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, sometimes we can't see the good because we don't love God enough. That's another point we could have explored, I guess. But the simple fact is, what I want you to understand is, everything that's going on in this world, as crazy as it is, God's got it under control. Our job is just to realize that all things work together for good. God brings a lot of good into this world, and He does things, good things for us. He teaches us, He chastens us, He disciplines us. But He also, not all the good is for us, a lot of the good is just to us. Just something to think about this morning, this afternoon. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close the service today. Father, bless each one and bless the Word of God as it goes out. Father, You know what we need, and I just pray You'd help us to realize that we just need to learn to love You more, just to understand good from Your perspective, not just in relation to our own selves. Help us, O Lord, to understand the truth. Help us to trust You and love You all the more. And we thank You, Lord, that we have such a support system, if you will, such a support, an advocate with the Father, somebody to make intercession for us according to Your will. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.